ರಾಮ ಹರೆ 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 ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೆ 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 ರಾಮ ಹರೆ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೆ 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 ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೆ 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 ರಾಮ ಹರೆ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೆ 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 ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೆ 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 ರಾಮ ಹರೆ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೆ 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 ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೆ 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 ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೆ ಹರೆ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೆ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೆ 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 ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೆ 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 ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೆ 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 ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೆ 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 ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೆ 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 ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೆ ಹರೆ
ವಿಷ್ಣುಪಾದ ಪರಮಹಂಸ ಪರಿವ್ರಾಜ ಆಚಾರ್ಯ ಅಷ್ಟೋತ್ತರ ಶತಶ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಹಿಸ್ ಡಿವೈನ್ ಗ್ರೇಸ್ ಎಸಿ ಭಕ್ತಿ ವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಶಿಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ ಕಿ ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀಮಂ ಭಾಗವತಂಕಿ ನಿತಾಯಿ ಗೌರ ಪ್ರೇಮನಂದಿ ಓ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಸ್ ಟು ದಿ ಅಸೆಂಬೊ ದೇವೋತಿಸ್ ಓ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಸ್ ಟು ದಿ ಅಸೆಂಬೊ ದೇವೋತಿಸ್ ಓ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಸ್ ಟು ದಿ ಅಸೆಂಬೊ ದೇವೋತಿಸ್ ಓ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಸ್ ಟು ಶಿಶಿ ಗುರು ವಂಶಿ ಗೌರಂಗ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ರೀಡಿಂಗ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ಶ್ರೀಮನ್ ಭಾಗವತಂ ಕಂಟೋ 9 ಇನ್ ಟೈಟೋ ಲಿಬರೇಷನ್ ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ 8 ಇನ್ ಟೈಟೋ ದ ಸನ್ ಆಫ್ ಸಾಗರ ಮೀಟ್ Lord Kapiladev, and today we're reading text number 22.
Je deha vaja striguna pradhana gunam vipasyanti utabatamascha ಯಾ ಮೋಹಿತ ಚೇತಸಸ್ತ್ವಂ ವಿದುಷ್ವ ಸಂಸ್ತಂ ನ ಬಹಿ ಪ್ರಕಾಶಃ ಯೇ ದೇಹಸ್ವಾಜ್ಯಸ್ತ್ರಿಗುಣಾ ಪ್ರಧಾನಾ ಗುಣಂ ವಿಪಾಸ್ಯಂತಿ ಉತಾವತಾಮಶ್ಚ Yamaya yamo hita chetasastvam. Vidushva samstam nabahi prakashaha. Ye dehas bhajyas triguna pradhana. Gunam vipasyanti utabacha mascha. Yamma yaya mohita chetasastvam. Vidushva samstam snabahi prakashaha.
Yea, those persons who, dehabhajaha, have accepted the material body, triguna pradhanaha, influenced by the three modes of material nature, gunan, the manifestation of the three modes of material nature, vipashyanti, can see only, uta, it is so said, va, either, tamaha, the modes of ignorance, cha, an, yatma, yaya, by the illusory energy of whom, mohita, has been bewildered, Chetasaha, the core of whose heart, Tvam, your lordship, Viduhu, know, Swa Samstam, situated in one's own body, Na, not, Bahi Prakashaha, those who can see only the products of the external energy. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. My Lord, you are fully situated in everyone's heart, but the living entities covered by the material body cannot see you, for they are influenced by the external energy conducted by the three modes of material nature. Their intelligence being covered by sattva-gun, rajya-gun, and tamagun, they can see only the actions and reactions of these three modes of material nature. Because of the actions and reactions of the modes of ignorance, whether the living entities are awake or sleeping, they can see only the workings of material nature. They cannot see your lordship. Purport. Unless one is situated in the transcendental loving service of the Lord, one is unable to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord is situated in everyone's heart. However, because the conditioned souls are influenced by material nature, they can see only the actions and reactions of material nature, but not the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One therefore must purify himself internally and externally. Apavitra pavitrova sarvastam gato piva sarvovastam gato piva jasmaret pundarikshaksham sabahya vyantara suchihi. To keep oneself externally clean, we should bathe 3 times daily. And for internal cleanliness, one must cleanse the heart by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. The members of the Krishna conscious movement must always follow these principles. Then it will one day be possible to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face. Yedeha bhajas triguna pradhana gunam vipashyanti utavatamas cha yammaya ya muhita chetasastvam vidushva shamstam nabahi prakasha. My Lord, you are fully situated in everyone's heart, but the living entities covered by the material body cannot see you, for they are influenced by the external energy conducted by the 3 modes of material nature. Their intelligence being covered by Sattvagun, Rajagun, and Tamagun, they can see only the actions and reactions of these 3 modes of material nature. Because of the actions and reactions of the modes of ignorance, whether the living entities are awake or sleeping, they can see only the workings of material nature. They cannot see your lordship. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jananjana Chalakaya Chakshur Ummilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Namo Om Vishupadaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Shimate Rupa Swamiti Namaha. Namo Om Vishupadaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Shimate Bhaktivedanta Swamin Iti Namine. Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyati Adi Satanine. Vancha kalpa taruvya sha kripa sinduvya eva cha patitanam pavanevyo vaishnavevyo namo namaha. So welcome everybody to the Subal morning show. Actually, it doesn't supposed to be like this. 5 in the row. All the attempts to actually have other devotees do the class somehow or other by Kishore's arrangement, they just fell apart, so I'm filling up today too. So not much time, actually absolutely no time for preparation, so but yesterday somehow or other I was asked to address the children of the Gita camp, and I was asked by Sweta Mataji and Shivaram Prabhu to say something about the holy name they were going to chant around. So I was trying to figure that out. I mean, you have all these little guys, you know, from maybe 6 years old, maybe all the way to 11 or something like that. They're like, you know, all over the place. And to say something to them that they can relate about the holy name. So I was just thinking, I said, okay, some idea came that asked them if they can see Krishna standing next to me. And they say, no. So, you know, I was just making the point to them that actually, why we cannot see Krishna? And I just told him that it's because we need to have our spiritual eyes open to be able to see Krishna. And the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra help us to gradually open our spiritual eyes so we are able to see Krishna face to face. We have that imagery, or we have not the imagery, but we have the understanding given in the scriptures. And this imagery, I try to find a better word, but this understanding is that it's in relation to open your eyes. To open your eyes. So we pray, Om Gyana Timirandasya Jananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Umilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Guru Venama. We pray and we offer our obeisance to our spiritual master, because although we are in the darkness of ignorance and we can see anything but this darkness, and the spiritual master with the torch light of knowledge opens our eyes to the reality. So we're able to see now out of this darkness. We're able to see. And that is the first step, that the spirit soul, the conditioned living entity in this material world, is completely covered by this mortal material nature. And what the mortal material nature does when we come in contact, when we fall into this material creation, immediately by the association with the mortal material nature, we acquire what is called the ahamkara, or the false ego, the false identification. We recognize ourselves with matter. And that matter, that the body that we receive by material nature, is influenced by a particular mode or a combination of the modes, and is forced to act in a certain way. But the power that happens by that association is that we fully recognize ourselves with that body. And we think the body to be the self. Therefore, it's called ahamkara, or false ego, false identification. And under the influence of this false ego, we go on and act according to the influence of these modes of nature. The modes of nature force us to act in a certain way. And we can control it. And the darkness is so dense that we don't realize that these actions and reactions that happens within this material world that we actually experiencing and observing are the product of the material modes of nature and not of our own. We think we're doing, but in reality we're not. Which is, you know, a very, very scary concept. It's probably the worst nightmare of any living entity, any consciously, or human beings. We always are scared of, you know, they make horror movies about, you know, this mind control, that someone else takes control of yourself and you have no control of what you do. So someone else directs you to do this and directs you to do that, and you have no control. And not only you don't have no control, but you have no consciousness that you're being controlled. So it's, you lose yourself. There's a loss of the self, and you're being fully controlled by a mechanism. So that's a material world. That's what false ego does. You're not able to see. You're not able to recognize, you're not able to experience your identity. There's a loss of the identity, and there's something that is being imposed in us. So it's a terrifying thing. It's a terrifying thing that in fact is a reality. It's a reality that we don't realize how control, how we've been controlled, and that basically we have no say in that, the actions that we're forced to do by material nature. So it is so fortunate to have these great personalities, representative of the personality of Godhead, the spiritual master, the saintly devotees, the saintly Vaishnavas, who come to this world to actually enlighten people. The word enlightened means to take one out of darkness. This darkness of, you know, being completely covered and controlled. So the first thing that these great personalities, the Vaishnava devotees, they do is that they bring a torchlight into the dark place. So now, that's in the first stage of coming out of darkness, the first thing that you can see is the horror of what is happening. And that's something that's, you know, extremely important, but it's not the end. In the beginning, we simply, when we receive Krishna consciousness and we start to associate with the devotees and start to receive what is known as transcendental knowledge. Transcendental knowledge is a torchlight. We pray to Srila Prabhupada, Chakshudan Dilo Jai Jame Jame Prabhu Shai, that my spiritual master open my darkened eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. Divya Gyan. Divya Gyan, and he fills our heart with this transcendental knowledge. Divya Gyan Hide Prokashito. So, with this torchlight of knowledge, we realize, we start at least to understand the situation. Okay, I'm being forced to act in a way that is contrary to myself, to who I am. And right now, I'm really forced to experience things in this material world under the false identification that I am this body. And that causes an extremely incompatible situation that causes suffering, anxiety, and all kinds of disturbances for the spirit soul. So I come to understand that I'm in this miserable situation, that there's actually, and there is something undesirable. I come to understand that there is a supreme personality of Godhead and I have an eternal relationship with him. I come to understand that I'm a spirit soul and I have that eternal relationship. And I come to understand that I am right now covered by this material condition. So, therefore, I must dive or continue the path of, I accept that the purpose of life is self-realization, that I have to actually regain my spiritual identity. And thus, we surrender to the spiritual master to guide us, to fill our heart with that transcendental knowledge. Now, when you have a space that is filled up with stuff, like Jitendra is not here, but if we go to one of those garage and it's filled up to the roof with stuff, all kinds of stuff, and you want to start again, build something, you have to get rid of that stuff to fill it up with other stuff. And it's going to take a lot of time. Or say here in the temple, you know, there's a lot of stuff all over the temple. If we like to make this place even more and more warm and suitable for inviting people and have them sit down with them and talk about Krishna, some nice spaces and things like that, we're going to have to get rid of a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff. So that's going to take some work. It takes some time. It takes some, you know, negotiation. You know, especially Jitendra Prabhu is, you know, every little thing that is in here have some, he have feelings for it, which is, you know, very nice, because he really feels for this temple, for this building. It's almost like this building is Jitendra Prabhu's Ishtadeva, you know, a worshipable deity. And he's going back home, back to Godhead because of that. I mean, talking about, you know, he's been here from the very beginning of Kishore Kishori being here and being worshipped. So he's been dedicated to that. So you have to do some negotiations to get rid of things. You have to, you know, okay, we have no, you know, it will take time. I'm making this comparison because that's what the spiritual master does. Our heart is filled with stuff. It is saying, Sarvupadi Vini Murtak, that all the stuff that is there is all kinds of mental and material conceptions of the self. Attachments, desires, conceptions, all kinds of things. And they're layers and layers and layers. It's filled with material conceptions and stuff and attachments. So when you have the whole place covered with stuff and you're just sitting in the middle of that, you just see stuff. You don't see anything else. Imagine living, having just a little space in one of those garages and you'll be covered by stuff. And you cannot see the light of the sun, just stuff. So the spiritual master starts to give us the means to eliminate that, and as well as we eliminate one thing that gets filled with transcendental knowledge, as we eliminate something material, then it gets filled with Krishna consciousness. And as we have some Krishna consciousness introduced in that space, in our heart, then we experience something. It's almost like, you know, the blur vision. You know, you see, when we wake up after sleeping, you know, in the beginning it's blur vision. We can't see properly. You know, you have to take some time to actually adjust your eyes to light. So, but there's a sense that you are of darkness. Even when you start to open your eyes and you have this blur vision, you experience light. So we start to experience Krishna consciousness as our heart starts to fill. And then, as we go on with the process of clearing that cluttered space out of material stuff, and you start to see light, you start to see space, you start to feel the air entering into the room. You start to feel the purification of the room. You also see that as the lights enter, ooh, how messy and dirty the place is. So you can start to clean. When you see that actually you're in a filthy place, then you want to clean. When the filthiness is all surround you, and that's all you know, it's just a status quo. We just accept that this is how it is. And we don't see anything else but that. That's reality. But when we see another reality, light coming in, breeze coming in, air coming in, you know, like that, then we start to realize, oh my God, this is filthy. And then you start the cleansing process. You get deeper into the cleansing process. So it's a gradual process of cleaning our hearts and filling our heart with Krishna consciousness. The end result of that cleansing is that we're able to see Krishna face to face. In the Brahma Samhita, Lord Brahma says that the process, we can inference that, you know, he says that this premanjana churita, that this salve. So the salve usually is something like my wife makes all kinds of salve and medicines and things like that, you know, out of herbs and like Rakta Prabhu is using something, you know, like that. So you put, you know, some salve. If my eyes are infected, I'm sick, I cannot see, then you put this salve in your eyes. And then when the effect of this salve is fully manifested, then your eye become a cure. So premanjana churito bhakti vilochanena. And then, so with the salve of love, of prema, then our eyes becomes cure. And then we're able to see Janshama Sundaran Achintya Gunashrupam. We're able to see Lord Shama Sundar, the beautiful form of Krishna within our heart. So is the process of purification is there. So Prabhupada explains this. Apavitra pavitrava, that even if I am in a filthy condition, or if I'm in a purified condition, I still should engage in the process of devotional service, in the process of the sacrifice, the process of Krishna consciousness. And one remains committed to the process of Krishna consciousness that fully purifies herself. And Prabhupada highlights the principle of cleanliness. The cleanliness should be external and internal. And he says three times a day. In the manual that we received from the Hari Bhakti Vilas, it says that at least two times. But three times is even a higher standard. Especially, you know, there is these three sandhyas in which, you know, one offer respects to the spiritual master, and during these three sandhyas, there's worship, you know, respects to Krishna. There's during Mongol Arati at noon and in the evening during sunset. So we have these three major artics, Mongol Arati, Rajboga Arati, and Gora Arati.
And during those times, those who are Brahmins, they chant your Gayatri, the Gayatri. So three times for Brahmins is the, you know, ideal. So you cleanse yourself externally. So in other words, one have to always keep oneself suci. And internally by chanting Hare Krishna, and we hear how the internal purification happens. Cheto darpana marjanam. So the cleansing of all the things happens also by the hearing of the holy name. We also hear Nashta Praesha Badrishu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. By hearing the Bhagavatam daily, also these unwanted things from within the heart becomes cleansed. We also understand the cleansing capacity. There's five purifying, most powerful purifying agents that Krishna has given us, which is the chanting of the holy name, the hearing of the Bhagavatam, the service to the pure devotee, and the worship of the deities, and living in a holy place. So all these things help us purify ourselves, help us develop the capacity to see Krishna face to face. And that's the goal. That's what we head into. So for now, we're just busy getting rid of all the unwanted things and filling our hearts with Krishna consciousness. So, and for that, we are grateful to our spiritual master, because remember, what is the light that comes? What is the light that is guiding us into and that they're purifying our heart? What is being feeling in there is transcendental knowledge, divya gyan hride prakashito. You know, our spiritual master is filling our heart with transcendental knowledge. With transcendental knowledge, he illuminates the path. And with transcendental knowledge, our heart is being illuminated. So how we receive transcendental knowledge? Well, Krishna says, you have to approach your spiritual master and serve him. Tad vidhi pranipatena pariprasnena shevaya. And one have to be eager to be purified by the instructions of the spiritual master. What is that? Sri Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chichete Korija Aikya. So the words of my spirit, I'm eager to be purified by the words emanating from his lotus mouth. So, prema bhakti, what is it? Prema bhakti jaha hoite avidya vinasa jate. Avidya vinasa. Avidya vinasa means that ignorance is destroyed by the words, you know, the prema emanates. This love to the personality of God, it emanates from his lotus mouth and destroy avidya. So we are dependent of our Guru Maharaj, we're depending on Srila Prabhupada to go through this process of purification. And that's and at the end, with that process of purification, we can recognize the personality of Godhead, which is something that is happening. Because sometimes when we have people coming to the temple from universities, colleges, and things like that, and the first thing that probably one of the most difficult things for them to understand is the deity form of the Lord. Is a very difficult thing to understand. They can't recognize. But for us, when we see Kishore Kishori, we recognize there's God. And we come, you know, we pray, we appreciate, we, you know, take in the beauty and the mercy of Kishore Kishori, Gaur Nitai, Jagannath Baladev Subhadra. We recognize them. We still haven't, you know, we still have a way to go, but we do recognize them. We hear that the great devotees of such Jiva Goswami, when he was worshipping Shishi Radha Damodar, Damodar, as he was dressing Damodar, Damodar was playing the flute and dancing. And then Srila Jiva Goswami had to say, "My dear sir, please stand still so I can dress you." We don't yet experience that, you know. Etasha, you know, dressed very beautiful, Gaur Nitai and Lord Jagannath. You haven't heard him play flute, or Lord Chaitanya chanting ecstatically, "Hadi Hada Janama Krishna Jadavajan." So I haven't had that experience. But is there, but at least we can recognize them. We can recognize them. And we have attachment for the deities. So that's a symptom of, that's what we own to our Guru Maharaj. That because, you know, because of the mercy of our Guru Maharaj, we're able to experience this most wonderful thing. Most wonderful thing that people are not able to experience. They don't have the eyes to see yet. The eyes haven't been fully open. The eye hasn't been open. So they cannot recognize Krishna when they see, you know, when they see the beautiful. They appreciate the beauty and they're intrigued, but they cannot recognize. But we're able to recognize. And that never goes away. That connection never goes away. When it's entered your heart, then that's it. So that's the beauty of Krishna consciousness. Any comments or questions? Yes, Natasha. Actually, I keep forgetting that the microphone. Here, Natasha.
You don't have to repeat again. Yeah, thank you, Prabhu, for the class. I was thinking in these things that you were saying. And I have to say that I really value the opportunity of being in the Brahmachari Ashram. And I always strongly recommend to people. And I'm very grateful with the Brahmachari Ashram in ISKCON, because it encourages renunciation, which is very important to clean the heart and to leave space for the most important thing, which is Krishna. If you take Brahmacharya later on life, for example, in my case, I don't know how my life will look like without the Brahmacharya Ashram. And it's even more complete that a lot of things that are going on at outside, you have these things like minimalism and things like that, that they have some credit. You know, society can take advantage of those things. For example, this movement, the Bauhaus movement, you know, this architecture movement, they simplified all the architecture. If you go to IIT, you will have those places that are very simplified and straight lines, you know, everything is simple. And from there is a quote that it says, less is more, right? Less is more. So the idea of that is leaving everything to leave space for the most important things. But the problem is that they don't have the content. They have the renunciation, maybe, but they don't have the content. Brahmachari Ashram in ISKCON gives you not only renunciation, but also the content that you have to put it there. So, coming back to your point, we know this principle of the nectar of devotion, that it says we have to accept whatever is favorable for Krishna consciousness and reject what is not favorable. So my question will be, I have the feeling that it's quite subjective, because and maybe this is why the process of Krishna consciousness is quite personal, because although we have the spiritual master telling us, or suggesting all the time, by his mercy, you have to leave these things, you have to, you know, simplify your life to make space for Krishna, we still have these attachments, these very personal things that we think may help us in Krishna consciousness. So even if a person comes from outside and tells us, you don't need that exactly to advance in Krishna consciousness, but we still feel that we need that. So that's what I'm thinking, that process of leaving whatever is not needed and accepting whatever is needed, it becomes quite subjective and very personal. And what I want to ask is how we can manage that. Is there any general guideline? If we have to suggest to someone to, you know, encourage renunciation in someone, which are the best ways to do that? You know, the most wisest ways to do that.
Thanks, Atasha Prabhu. Yeah, it's a nice question, and it's an important question, because if I think immediately, it just came, as you were talking, it came the picture of Arjuna, which is, you know, the premise of the teachings of the Bhagavad Gita, that to decide or to understand what is the right thing to do for us is perplexing at times, because, you know, there are things that, you know, we see, well, this is right, but this is also right, but this is also right. Then, you know, if I do this, then maybe this gets compromised, or this gets compromised, or this thing. And so, you know, how to manage this is perplexing. That was the word that Arjuna uses, you know. I'm confused about what to do. So in this perplexed situation, I come to you, to Krishna, to help. So you tell me. So the principle of why we depend on the spiritual master to understand what to do. And for that principle to take place, we have to embrace it in one sense and have faith on it. So the combination of having a bona fide spiritual master and a disciple with that type of faith, then the transcendental, but more like a mystical arrangement, that the spiritual master, whatever he says, will be what Krishna, from within your heart, is directing. So you actually receive directly from the mouth of the spiritual master the message that super soul will have for you. And he knows. Super soul is living there with you, and he knows all the things that we have to go through. He lives with us, so he knows everything. He knows our attachments. He knows how much we can take. He knows, you know, what things are important. One thing, you know, if they're taken away, you're going to be too disturbed, that you're not able to progress. And because he is Shruhidam Sarvabhutanam, he is our best well-wisher, he won't do something that will break us. He will do something that will allow us to continue progressing steadily. So Krishna makes, you know, he's very kind. And the arrangement that he makes is very complete and extremely clever and very, very sensible to the plight of all of us, which, as you say, is very personal. We all have different things that we have to deal with. It's a very personal thing. So there is a very specific instruction. Therefore, we receive from the spiritual master that term that is used is swadharma. Swadharma means my personal dharma. It's personal. So, you know, those instructions, swadharma, is divided into two. Your spiritual and your material. And they're both given. So we get directions of how to perform our material duties and how to perform our spiritual duties. And that's the system that Krishna gives. It's a complete system for us, for conditioned souls who have desires. We have a system that both things are cultivated simultaneously. Therefore, we have the term karma yoga. You know, karma and yoga, simultaneous. You know, oxymoron, two opposite things. But you put them together in a process. You know, and they have to carry together what the Sri Upanishad say, vidya and avidya, simultaneous. Material knowledge and spiritual knowledge. So, what is the thing that holds them together? From the third chapter in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains karma yoga. And then tells Arjuna that you come to be able to progress in karma yoga by knowledge. So then the next chapter is transcendental knowledge. So transcendental knowledge is what glues them together. Transcendental knowledge means that we understand that the purpose of life, what is north, what is the purpose of life? Is jigyasha tattva jigyasha or atato brahma jigyasha. That the purpose of life is to understand and realize the absolute truth. So that's what the overarching principle that guides these two endeavors that goes side by side. And that's a system for us, conditioned souls with attachments. And we receive that system by the spiritual master. So, but we have to have faith in that principle. If we doubt, what happens if I doubt that principle? If my faith is not fully, is partial, is not full. When we have partial faith in the spiritual master, or in the process of Krishna consciousness, then I keep, okay, this I have to figure it out on my own. So then I'm trying to figure it out, this, work this out. And then we learn the hard way at the end, because as a devotee, Krishna will take care of you. If you insist, I want to do it, okay, Krishna say, okay, I do it. But, you know, he's like a very caring parent, with a very, you know, like sort of active, you know, hyperactive child that is just running this way and running that way. The parent, you know, maybe allowed him to run, but he's always with an eye, you know. When the kid is getting into trouble, he's immediately there, you know. So okay, we insist, he allows. However you square it, you're going to hit yourself and you're going to learn with pain. And then you come to your senses after hitting yourself several times and suffering this way and that way. Then, you know, you naturally turn towards Krishna and say, okay, you tell me, you know, that type of thing. But that's the part when we have partial, you know, we try to do it on our own. But when we try to, you know, when we have faith in the spiritual master, then what we receive from the spiritual master is Krishna's instruction from within the heart. They're to the point. They're perfect. They just fit, you know, they're taking into consideration your attachments. They take into consideration your position that you are at that point. And they give you instructions that if you do it by the letter, then is as good as you know, I mean, you become Krishna conscious, you purify yourself, everything is like very progressive and, you know, elevating. That's when we do like that. And you have a bona fide spiritual master, that is no doubt, is there. You know, same with any of us. The power is from ourselves to actually sort of cultivate that faith, that the words of the spiritual master are the words of Krishna from within my heart. So because of that, my Guru Maharaj knows my heart better than me, because I'm all confused about it. I don't know, I'm a little, and you know, we have a sense that I don't have it together, but I'm just afraid that my spiritual master maybe would tell me, stop doing what I like to do. And we should not be afraid. Krishna will take care of us, will actually fulfill those desires in a way that will take us closer to Him. You know, if we try to fulfill the desires some other way, we're gonna see that we find ourselves in a ditch, and then, you know, that's when we come to our senses and say, oh my God, I'm in a ditch, I have to get out of here, you know. So then you go back eventually like that. So faith on our Guru Maharaj, he will guide us throughout, and kindly, neither our Guru or Krishna will ask us to do something that will break us. You know, he will ask us to do something that will strengthen us and give us the capacity to actually fulfill everything, all our desires, in a way that we go back to Godhead. So, all right. Any other thing, Krishna Archana?
I just had a thought on another aspect of Itasha Krishna's question, because of doing the ninth chapter of Bhagavad Gita for the Krishna camp and dealing with the verse of Krishna saying that he preserves what one has and provides what one is lacking. The portion of your question that dealt with looking at material possessions and being questioned because of being in the brahmachari ashram, whether a particular material possession was needed or not needed, and you're looking from a subjective perspective and understanding that for oneself, one feels, oh, that's needed. It came to my mind, that particular verse, because the extraordinary thing that emerged from studying that verse was that what Krishna is actually doing is, for devotees, is providing a peaceful existence. And the reason the existence is peaceful that Krishna is providing is that he's actually giving the necessary material things for one's life. So in actual fact, if one's understanding that, then one understands that anything that one has there has actually been provided to one by Krishna. So it actually is correct that one should be having that possession. The only thing that allows for a different view of the possession is acknowledging that it's been provided to one. So then there's no conflict.